As you walk along life's pathways through the night and through the day, you will never lose direction if you let God lead the way. For His love can pierce the darkness and make shadows disappear, and His light reveals the grandeur as to heaven you draw near. Well, this is John Thrasher, and you're listening to Morning Devotions for the next 30 minutes. I want to be an encourager to you today. Life is difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy for anybody. Doesn't the Bible say, "No temptation has taken you but such as is common to man"? But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Your lot is the common lot of the human race. Even though we're all different, and we suffer and struggle and wrestle through various things, yet you would find many a person in this world who could relate to exactly how you feel and how you think and the set of problems and troubles that you have, because it's the common lot of humanity. Some people have never learned the secret of how to rise above all that stuff and to find victory in Jesus and to have the joy of the Lord and the peace of heaven in their soul. They dwell so much on what they can see, the tangible, what they can feel and touch and what's happening to them in the here and now, that they lose sight of heaven's perspective. And they've never learned how to take those eagle's wings and rise above the things that would pull us down. But God wants to teach us those secrets. I love this verse in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakeneth morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear like the learned." Well, I want the Lord to open my ears and my eyes and my heart and my understanding and teach me how to speak a word in due season to somebody who needs it. I want to speak the word of the Lord to you today that will be a word of comfort and guidance and strength as together we reaffirm our faith in God, in His faithfulness, in His trustworthiness. So I want you to stay tuned for the next 30 minutes, and we'll just lean our arms upon heaven's windowsill together and gaze into the face of our Savior. And then with that vision, we'll turn strong to meet our day.
His mercies are new every morning. His love and His power abound. In all of the earth and heaven, none other like Him is found. He's given me beauty for ashes. I'm clothed in a garment of praise. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. He's been with me through every trial. He's been with me through every test. I've learned that when I put my faith in God, my faith puts God at His best. Never one time has He failed me. He's never once left me alone. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt Him, Almighty King. Exalt Him, God of everything. Exalt Him, I lift my voice and exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt the Lord of Lords. Exalt the Lord of Lords.
And let's do that very thing today, shall we? To exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. I preached a sermon one Sunday morning to my congregation entitled Poor John, or Heaven's Perspective. That seems like kind of a strange title, doesn't it? Poor John, or Heaven's Perspective. It depends on your viewpoint. If you believe that God is God and His promises are true, and as the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But it went on to say how that Christ is risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept, and we're going to rise too. And he spoke of that joyful anticipation that we have, that glorious day when we are going to rise again. That's heaven's perspective. If you built all of your feelings and emotions around what's happening to you right now, you could very possibly be a very miserable individual. And indeed, a lot of people are miserable because that's exactly what they're doing. They look at all the things happening to them right now. They don't see eternity. They don't see heaven. They don't see the promises of God being fulfilled in their lives, and that the Lord has so much in store for those who love Him and will put Him first. They don't see any of that. They just see what's happening to me right now, and I don't like it. And so I have no song to sing. I have no thanksgiving to utter. And if you would look at the life of John, John the Baptist, what a miserable existence that poor fellow had. And what a tragic conclusion to his life. It would make you want to say, poor John. Unless, of course, you believe in God, and you believe in heaven, and you believe in everlasting life, and you believe that the day is coming when God is going to make it all up to us. Those who put the Lord first in their lives, God is going to make it all up to you. Have you been deprived of some earthly joy, such as good health, or good looks, or prosperity, or companionship? Has your life been put on hold with nothing happening? Then listen, dear friend, put Christ first in your life, and God will make it up to you. That's what I understand as I read my Bible. In verses like Matthew 19, verse 29, Jesus said, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life." I can say unequivocally, without any hesitation, that no matter how miserable your life may be right now, and what you may be deprived of that other people seem to have, if you'll put God first in your life and love Him and serve Him and trust Him, God will make it all up to you, and He'll have the rest of eternity to do it with. Just look at the life of John the Baptist for a moment. Very few people have had such a glorious announcement of their birth like John had when the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias, John's father. They could have no children, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was barren. They could have no children, but the angel of the Lord appeared to Zacharias as he was on duty there in the temple with the burning of the incense. And the angel said to Zacharias, "Your alms have been seen, your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth is going to have a baby boy, and you shall call his name John." And the angel went on to say how great this young fellow was going to be. And Zechariah said, How shall I know this, that it will really come to pass? And the angel said, and I love this, the angel said, "I am Gabriel, who stands at the presence of God. Because you have not believed my word, you will be stricken dumb, not able to speak a word until the baby is born." And it happened, and he couldn't utter a word. He was dumb. He could not talk until after John was born. But miraculously, John was conceived. He was brought into this world. And then he began to proclaim the coming of Christ. He was the forerunner. He was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, a voice crying in the wilderness. Now, I would have thought that someone with such a glorious announcement of his birth, and someone with such tremendous responsibility, and that responsibility being preparing the way of the Lord, making his path straight, would have been blessed in so many ways in this life. But not so. He had a miserable existence. I think maybe you've been reading the wrong books and listening to the wrong kind of preaching. It just simply is not always so that when you put Jesus first in your life and you love God with all your heart, that you're going to automatically be healthy, wealthy, and wise. It just isn't so. God does bless people who put Him first, but I'll tell you something else. God also blesses sinners who could care less, because He makes His rain to fall upon the just and the unjust. And for every godly saint who puts the Lord first and God blesses them with riches and affluence and prosperity, I can show you 1,000 sinners who could care less that God also blesses with abundance and affluence. That's His grace, and that's His compassion and His mercy. How He allows the sun to shine upon those who use His name in praise, and He allows His sun to shine upon those who blaspheme His holy name. And He causes the rain to fall upon the crops of a farmer who blasphemes God and despises Christ and could care less about eternity or his soul's welfare. The Lord still allows the rain to fall in His field, as well as to some godly saint. So, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. And if we'll walk in His ways and do what He wants us to do, there are times that God will bless us with nice cars and nice houses and good food to eat and nice clothes. And there are other times that we may be impoverished. Even the Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to be full and to be empty, to have superabundance and to have nothing, to be exalted and to be abased. But he said, I have learned in whatever state I am in, I have learned to be content. But again, I'll say, I would have thought that someone with such a glorious beginning and such tremendous promises given by the angel Gabriel to Zacharias regarding their son John, that his life would have really been protected and blessed and he would have prospered, but not so. He had a miserable existence. His clothes, he had raiment of camel's hair. His food was locust and wild honey. The locust was, something like a big grasshopper. That's what he ate all the time. His food was locust and wild honey. He never married. He was thrown in prison by Herod because John said, you can't have that woman to be your wife. And then he was executed when he was only about 31, 32 years old. That's why I say, poor John. Poor John, the forerunner of Christ. Poor John. What a miserable existence. Never got married, and his food was awful. And when he was thrown in prison, he never came out. He wasn't delivered. There have been times that people were delivered from prison, even by angels, but not John. He stayed there until one day Herodias' daughter danced before King Herod and the others and pleased them well. And you know the story. And she wanted the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And King Herod sent the executioner to the prison. And John was just a young man in the prime of his life. Why does God allow all those things to happen? I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. I think that these are times when we just have to remember, God said, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my thoughts than yours. And we trust Him. God knows what He's doing. And we cannot put God in a little box and figure Him all out and say, now this is how God does things. This is my formula for God. This is how He always works. Oh, no, He doesn't. God has a lot of surprises. And this is where faith comes in. This is where love comes in. If the Lord chooses to deliver the saint from jail by sending an angel or sending an earthquake, then we'll praise Him for it. But if He doesn't, and that dear Christian is beheaded like John was, so be it. We're going to trust God and love Him. But I tell you what, you won't say, poor John, poor John, if you believe in heaven's perspective, because God sees things differently than we do. And the Lord God has the rest of eternity, the eons of the ages, to make up to John things he was deprived of. There was Isaac Watts. You remember Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer, born July 17 in 1674 and lived to be 74 years, but most of his life was in illness. I had the privilege of visiting his gravesite. He is buried at Bunhill Field Cemetery in London, England, just across the street from John Wesley's chapel. Isaac Watts was brilliant and gifted. It is said that he begged for books before he could speak plainly. He began his study of Latin at age 4. He wrote books on many different subjects: geography, astronomy, philosophy, theology. His book on logic was used as a textbook at Oxford University. That's how smart he was. But we remember him most for the hymns that he wrote, over 600 of them. One of which was "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," and also the Christmas carol, "Joy to the World, the Lord is Come." And that blessed old hymn, "O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." But with all of his gifts and talents, did you know that Isaac Watts had a lot of things against him that would make people who knew Isaac Watts to say, "Oh, poor Isaac," unless in heaven's eye and heaven's perspectives you could see beyond the present? Well, Isaac Watts had a lot of things against him. He was ugly in appearance, being only 5 feet tall, and his big head made his small body look even smaller. He had a long, crooked nose. One woman fell in love with his poetry, but when he proposed to her, she rejected him, and it is said that she commented that she loved the jewel but didn't like the case it was in. Isaac Watts was sickly ever since he was a teenager, when smallpox almost claimed his life. But his church took loving care of him, for he was greatly liked, but he never got married. And one day when he was sick, Sir Thomas Abney invited him to his splendid home for a week. He became so dear to the household of the Abneys that they kept him there for the rest of his life, for 36 years. Isaac Watts had a lot of talents and gifts, but he had a lot of things against him. It seems to me that heaven would have made sure that one of heaven's rarest jewels would have been blessed in everything, but that's not usually the way it is. He had a lot of things against him, but I'll say again, God has all of eternity to make it up to Isaac Watts and to Paul the Apostle and to John the Baptist and to you and me. To us, the word is given, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So you must look beyond your lot to what God has promised to those who love him. Can you do that? Doesn't the scripture say, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, what God has prepared for those who love him"? So it's not poor John, oh no, in heaven's perspective, and it's not poor Isaac Watts in heaven's perspective, nor is it poor Paul the Apostle, who was thrown in prison, beaten, and finally beheaded. No, in heaven's perspective, these are the Lord's jewels. Are you the Lord's jewel? And no matter what you may have been deprived of, God will make it all up to you if you'll love him and put him first in your life, and he'll have all of eternity to do it. Greatest hymns ever written, and it was written by Isaac Watts. Well, this is John Thrasher. Thank you for joining with me in Morning Devotions today. I hope you have a good day, and may God just put his arms around you and lift you up close to his heart. The Lord be with you.